This is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes to bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, the Wild One rides off into the distance. Well, Paisley's far enough. But his now former teammates have another game lined up against Inverness. We'll back up to date with both camps in just a moment. And give you the chance to be at the game with a pal for free. Plus, we'll check in on the rest of the Scottish Premiership too, as well as news from the Highland League, Balmoore and beyond, including rugby and more, ahead of the in-demand top 30 on the North East number one for sport across the region before 7 o'clock. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
We begin, though, as always, at Pittodrie and with boss Derek McInnes. Firstly, on the departure of Greg Wilde.
Part of the reason the team's been doing well, and I think that's first and foremost the main reason. You know, I think that, you know, obviously the team has been in decent form, and we felt that, we said to Greg, you know, it's appreciated how difficult, you know, to all the players that haven't been playing a major part, but the players who have been a bit frustrated, we just said to them, no, you've got all got a part to play. You've got to dig deep and make sure you're ready to play your part and try and stay in the team. So, like I say, it's not just down to the team's good form that Greg hasn't played, but that is a reason. I say to players all the time, you can't always play your way into the team through how you train, but you can certainly play your way out of the team. So you've got to be ready. And as I say, we've got a great set of lads here. They're doing terrific. You know, we've got a lot to look forward to. And we just want players who really see, that feel that they've got a part to play in that, and embrace it. So, you know, we wish him well. No doubt he'll go and get regular football at St Mirren, and you know, he's not a bad lad at all. We were just looking for a wee bit more determination to fight his way into the team.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, two Daves, McDermott and Galloway. Guys, before we get on to tomorrow's game, the Greg Wilde situation is one we'll cover because it's the biggest talking point in the Dons week. A surprise for sure, Dave, given that he was only 6 months into a 3-year contract with the club. But when people have asked me this week, you know, what do you think about it? I just replied, well, I trust the boss's judgment, and that's about all you can say, isn't it? We're not there, he is.
Yeah, and also I think when you look at it, you know, Greg was getting frustrated because he wasn't getting a start, but equally, you know, Peter Pollitt, I think, is, you know, the main reason Peter's form has been such that he must be one of the first names on the team sheet. You've got Johnny Hayes, who can play wide, who's got a bit of pace. You've got Nicky Lowe. You've got a number of players that can play there. And, you know, even Johnny Hayes, when the defenders are back, Johnny, if you remember, was on the bench not that long ago. So he was kind of a wee bit down the pecking order. As the manager said, he just felt that, you know, great lad, Greg, but perhaps just not as hungry as he could be. And I think it's pretty brave of the manager. You know, we'll come on to the topic. Some people saying, you know, he obviously made a mistake. But I think if you the good management is if you feel that perhaps you could have done something better. He was one of the better paid lads. That's no secret. So when all's said and done, I think it's a good move for all parties. Greg will get regular football, you'd imagine, at St Mirren. The manager has got a bit of extra budget potentially to play with, but he's already said he won't use that unless it's somebody that's going to improve the squad. And it also perhaps will give one of our youngsters a bit more game time. You know, personally, I find, you know, from Greg's point of view, I feel a bit disappointed for him because, you know, we're on the cusp, hopefully, of something special in the second part of the season. And you hope it doesn't happen, but, you know, it doesn't take too many injuries and suspension. And Greg could have been back in there. So I think the manager doesn't want a player there if he feels that he's not 100% committed to the cause. And, you know, that's not necessarily Greg's fault. As I say, you know, the bounce after that goal he scored down at Easter Road was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
We just didn't see enough of it, but that's down to the way the current squad, you know, how can you don't want to change a winning team unless you have to. So, you know, wish him all the very best. Nice lad, and I'm sure he'll do well for St Mirren, just as long as he doesn't do it against us.
The thinking externally, Dave Galloway, is that by getting rid of a relatively costly bit part fringe player who hadn't done as well as was hoped, it could be potentially, as Dave says, freeing up cash to spend on a loan deal
And the chat has been around David Goodwillie. But Derek's also expressed the fact the club will not break the bank to bring in anyone. There's an offer out there, though, isn't there?
Yes, but I agree entirely with the way that the manager's doing his business. You know, there's no point in him fueling speculation about which player's coming in or going out, because that's all it is at the moment. It's just speculation, idle gossip. The way that Derek does his business is when there's something concrete to report, then you'll find out about it. You'll have a press conference at Pittodrie. But I think a lot of intrigue lies ahead in the coming weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing who comes in. I believe somebody will come in, but I'm not sure who.
Is saying we won't shatter the wage structure, is it putting the ball into the court of the likes of David Goodwillie, or is someone possibly who's on a similar wage structure and saying, you know, if you want to come, take a wage cut, shows intent, enthusiasm for being a part of the plan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, David Goodwillie, there's no doubt his potential. I think the thing about Goodwillie is that both Derek and Tony know him inside out. Derek played with him at Dundee United, and the player himself has a lot of regard for Tony as a coach and sees him as a mentor. I think he's 25 now, so you know, you look at some of the youngsters that came through Hibs, and really, you know, the Riordans, O'Connors, etc., who really have not realised their undoubted potential. And David Goodwillie, you know, without putting too fine a point of it, is in danger of joining those. His next career move is a huge one. So, you know, I think the fact he wasn't in the Blackburn squad midweek would show that he's still not part of their plans. If there is a management team that can get the best out of him, you know, and he's got baggage, there's no doubt about it. But from a footballing perspective, I think, you know, and you can imagine that Derek and Tony, if they did get him, would make sure, and with Graham Kirk working on the fitness side of things, that would get him back playing. And a fit David Goodwillie playing confidently is an asset to most teams.
I asked this last week. I have no recollection of what you said. It's been a long week.
Thank you.
would you want David Goodwillie in a loan deal? Because given the choice right this very minute, I think I would sooner have Michael Hector back if it was an option, and possibly look elsewhere for other options if that was affordable.
I think the only thing with Michael Hector, I think I'd love to have Michael Hector back. Great guy, excellent player, but I think now with Alan Tate and with Andy Considine back in the squad for tomorrow, the defensive side of things is not now the priority that it was even a fortnight ago. So I would say yes if he's going to score goals. He's obviously played in the cup for United, but in terms of, because I think I do feel that we, you know, for whatever reason, we don't score enough goals that our quality of play merits, and that's not down to any one person.
Bigger problems it's been in the past simply because we're winning the games.
Indeed, but we should be winning some of these games. We quite frankly, we've deserved to win with a couple of goals at least to spare.
Agreed. The departure of Greg Well, the subject of the weekly topic as well, which you can view on Aberdeen Mad as always. And this week, we've chosen to go with a thread started by Caddy Car Handle, which reads, Wild to St Mirren. Don's winger Greg Wild is set to sign for St Mirren. It's understood the former Rangers and Bolton midfielder will put pen to paper on a deal with the buddies in the next 48 hours. Wild, 22, joined the Dons in the summer but has failed to become a regular in Derek McInnes' starting lineup. And as always, Dave's got your thoughts as that one developed.
Starting off with Pacman 1903, pleases me in a way because I thought he was pants when he played. More chance of youth products getting through now, i.e. Cammy. From Agent Cooper, nobody including the manager could have foreseen the transformation in Peter Pollitt this season, which has meant Greg has no place in the team. From Kenzie 316, the times he has played, he's been okay, can deliver a ball and does have pace. In fact, he seems to be a bit more committed than Johnny Hayes at times. That one. With the team doing so well just now, says Stav 22, the transfer window is becoming very interesting. Just thinking about it, that it's probably the best that this has happened, as we have Lowe, Hayes, McGinn, Pollitt, who can all play as wingers. Still granted, it's a bit of a shock. Steve W 886, all the best to the guy. He put his all into the games he played, always showed willing to be part of the scene at Pittodrie. Just a pity he wasn't good enough. Forward Granty, my concern is if we're getting rid of a permanent contract to accommodate a loan signing of a striker. If Peter or Johnny gets injured, which one of the Goodwillie, McGinnis, Zola, Vernon or any number of our other strikers would replace that position? Well, I think we have other options we mentioned, Nicky Lowe, who can quite happily play out, not tomorrow because he's still suspended, of course. Exterminator 75, Touchwood, we've had a good season in terms of injuries and suspension. Still think this guy could have done a job for us in the second half of the season. Gallus 79 was at the Thistle Hibs game a few months ago and was sat beside a scout. We got chatting at half time. He was a Scot who worked for Bolton, and I asked him about Greg. His opinion was pretty damning, said he was never good enough for Bolton and questioned his game intelligence for even the SPFL. The left side, a bit disappointed and surprised at this news. I think he did well enough for us and the chances he got. From Tarapoa, he was going past defenders for fun, especially if he'd got a run on them or they were daft enough to show him onto his left foot. However, his final ball was invariably nowhere near an AFC player. It's good news, says Rico S321, not because I disliked him, but because McInnes is happy to let him go. He could easily have kept hold of him because it was his signing to save face. He's identified a problem and dealt with it. Great management. From Mr. Greaves, Lowe, Murray and O'Neill can all play wide as well as moving Pollitt to the wing and replacing him in the centre with Smith. Welded next to nothing, says the Stooge in a red shirt. While strength and depth is required, he wasn't really offering anything, even as a sub, and wasn't worth the spend. Stupe82 always felt that Wild had potential. He was a decent player and was quick in the wing too, but perhaps Derek just doesn't rate him. Ohio Red, what's unusual is a football manager not only admitting a mistake but taking action to correct it. From Mason 89, Derek McInnes has achieved a minor miracle with his team so far. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have some small concerns about his running of the club. And from Bobby Clark, number one, in my opinion, he's always appeared to be running like a headless chicken. Skosker, we might miss his electric pace, but seeing that, he's the same speed as me sitting on the bench, which is very true. And finally, from Addison DeWitt, Ach, I think we're being a bit too hard on the lad. His confidence would have been at a low ebb after not doing well in England. He comes here, finds he's down the pecking order, and it sinks even lower. He knows he needs regular game time if he's going to develop as a player, and he's taken a cut in wages to get it. He said nothing but positive things about the club and the manager and isn't looking for someone else to blame. Good luck to the Loon, and I think that's a good way to end it.
Done and dusted, and something which, come the end of a hopefully trophy-laden season, well, Merrill only.
Laden. Laden. I'd sell for one. Okay, let's not be greedy. We've had nothing since 1995.
Okay.
Programme of the year, come on.
I didn't
come on,
think
Noel.
I would get away with that one.
12 in a row.
Okay, a silver season. Will merit only a blip in the history books, the focus being on the silverware. Obviously, we wish Greg well. Just whilst we're here, we may as well hammer in the poll too, because they kind of go hand in hand. It's on the subject of breaking the wage structure, phrased simply like this. Should Aberdeen break their wage structure to strengthen their squad? Yes or no? So should Aberdeen break their wage structure to strengthen their squad? Dave Galloway.
Just get the latest. Refresh. It is, well, this is one of the most decisive ones that we've had in recent memory. Yes, 9.7%. No, 90.3%.
Macaroni Pie continues, it's a no from me. We're doing fine and idiotic spending in pursuit of success. Well, we've seen what that achieves in the long run. Just in case that's not concrete enough for your red starter Finn's hammers home, I voted no. Events at Ibrox and Tynecastle should render anyone who votes yes as certifiable. Reykjavik 10-0 says, agree with these comments 100%. Let this season's increased gate income combined with a higher finish, i.e., end of season payout from SPFL, continue to build up a sizeable war chest for Derek McInnes to strengthen the squad over the summer. It would be crazy to buy somebody now and mess with such a settled squad and fantastic team spirit, especially if the target is cup tied anyway. We won't get Boydie or Sutton mid-season, but if we hold off until the summer, we could afford at least one of them to take us to the next level domestically and beyond. Open brackets, hopefully, close brackets. 74 takes a slightly different tack. Is the difference in prize money between second and third still a ridiculous $1.5 million or thereabouts? We have a great chance of second anyway, and I wouldn't push the boat out too much, but a quality striker would make us firm favourites, in my opinion. Pitchmick 2013, look at the Euro run under JC. We bought Nicholson and Lovell for a combined fee of 500k and presumably paid Seve and Jamie Smith a decent wage, and all these players played an important role in the run which made us a fair bit of money. It's about speculating to accumulate sensibly and at the right time. Based on our season so far, I'd say now would be the perfect time to push the boat out and try and buy someone like Boyd or Mackay and a left back like Shinny. How much money do you think we have? So I voted yes. Some differing views there, and seeing how.
Can I just say, speculate to accumulate? That was back before the recession, before everything went pear shaped.
Before a 14 million loss.
Indeed, I mean, seriously, it's not going to happen. And which Sutton? Is that Chris Sutton or John Sutton?
Aye.
Chris Sutton.
Because John Sutton we were linked with before, but I was just going to say why.
John Sutton?
I don't think John Sutton's any better
really
than,
for me.
Than the players we've got.
Chris Boyd. Certainly not.
Chris Boyd?
Every year he's getting that bit older. But having said that, I think when we were down at Rugby Park a couple of weeks ago, I was really impressed.
He had a really good game. He seems to have added a bit of work rate as well, because he was, you know, he wasn't just standing on the edge of the 18-yard box. Yeah. He was doing a bit of tracking back, and he was working hard.
I thought it was a hard afternoon for Russell. He was really, Boyd was very impressive.
Yeah.
And the last two names on this one from Pitch Mix 2013, Mackay, who with the best will in the world, I would take in a heartbeat. I think any club would, and I think bigger clubs than us would. Given the opportunity, and a left back like Shinny, well,
more likely to get Andrew Shiny than
probably the same thing there. Differing views, like
could benefit from his experience, I'm sure.
Plenty of that.
Seeing as how Jimmy was brought up there, you can see online Jimmy being interviewed in his new job back in Holland, speaking fluent Dutch, more fluent than my Dutch,
brilliant,
and better than his English as well. By the looks of things,
it was Dutch with a Glaswegian accent. It was quite surreal.
To me, it is really, because I've heard when he was there, at the club, he used to sometimes be on the phone to agents in Holland.
Yeah.
And other and he was absolutely really impressed. And he made a bigger effort than Steve McLaren did, put it that way.
Wouldn't be difficult.
You can see that clip on YouTube today if you're going to have a look. As always, if you'd like to get involved, then do. Our topics and polls are online from around midweek onwards, and any given week you'll find them at Aberdeen Mad. And then here's some of your chat on the show at the weekend right here on Northern One's Friday Sport. Now, to the matter in hand, another match at Pittodrie tomorrow, the end of a glut of home matches and the start of a barren spell so far as that's concerned. A lot on the road for the next few weeks, but before all of that, it's Aberdeen versus Inverness. Boss Derek McInnes, once again.
Looking forward to it. Obviously, it's our last game at home for a while. We've Inverness, you know, having played them just less than a month ago, which is quite bizarre. You know, we're back around playing them again so quickly, so it's always a tough game. We've won two matches against them, tight matches, and two different matches. One nil out here when Scott Vernon wins us all 3 points, and then obviously an entertaining game for everybody in the 4-3 game up there. But we've managed to come out on top in both games, and both games were hard fought and tight. So I would expect something similar to on Saturday, and hopefully we can have the same outcome. It wasn't so much the second half performance; it was more the nature of the goals we lost. You know, I think there was some poor goals we lost, and we're obviously well aware of the kind of. We've got to be fully concentrated on Billy Mackay as well. He's a player that can take half chances, you know. And although they've got some other good players in their team, Inverness, you know, he's the one that predominantly. Can punish you with half chances. So, no, I think it was more the goals that we can learn from, those types of goals. But I think we've played enough football since then that we can learn from that anyway. It's not just about what you learn from when you play Inverness, you know. So it's a lot of stuff we were pleased about in that game, and a lot of stuff we've been pleased about since. You know, we've been on some decent form in the last wee while, and we want to make that continue. And it'll only continue by a good, strong Aberdeen performance.
They were very different games, the two preceding matches. A tight victory here when it didn't look like we were going to, much like last week. And then that thunder-busting goal from Willow Flood, which I've been watching all week. And the other game in Inverness just before Christmas. Not even you, Dave Mack, would have forecast the Dons being 4-0 up at half-time.
Oh, I don't know.
Probably a touch conservative by your standards, wouldn't it? But how do you see tomorrow going? Like the first tight victory or the second seven-goal thriller?
I'm going for. Do you want my prediction? Just
no, I don't want it just now. Okay. I just wonder, you know, do you see it being full of goals, or do you see it being tight again?
Somewhere in between. I see one team scoring a few goals and the other not.
There will be goals.
Okay, if you had to put money on it right now, which way would you think that would go as far as Dave's concerned? One man definitely hoping for a quieter time than he had the last occasion the two sides met is Aberdeen goalie Jamie Langfield.
We've had a few days off now, so obviously with the hectic schedule we had over Christmas and New Year, so it's been good to get back to like a normal working week, and the boys are fully focused and all recharged for the game on Saturday against Inverness.
Because they haven't played them so recently, it's still quite fresh in your mind.
Yeah, as I don't think there'll be. I know the manager likes to get into in-depth analysis and the opposing team, but as you say, we only played them 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's fresh in the mind. Obviously, if we can replicate the first half and not the second half, then it would be a great performance from the boys.
What lessons did you take from that match, especially the second half performance?
Well, first half, I think we take so many positives from it. We were clinical, we were the better side, we played well. I can't remember the last time anybody ever going up to Inverness and scoring four goals, so especially in the run they'd been on. So we take the positives from the first half, and then we've obviously assessed what happened in the second half, and we've made sure that won't happen again. So, but we're at home. It's hopefully going to be a good crowd, so hopefully it's all bodes well for a good game Saturday.
Jimmy Langfield there. Now, coming up, come back man, Andrew Considine, as well as Big Yogi. But first, your chance to be at the game tomorrow afternoon, courtesy of North Sun One's Friday Sport. If you'd like to go along with a mate, we've got a pair of tickets up for grabs just for answering this question correctly. In the 4-3 victory for Aberdeen in Inverness, which Don scored 2 goals? Which Aberdeen player scored twice in the 4-3 victory in Inverness? Our number is Aberdeen 400-969. 01224-400-969 if you want to have a go and be at the match live. Filling that, afc.co.uk for a very Don's biased look at the game. Our commentary team of Dave Mack, Dave G and Andrew Shiney taking you through it. But if you can't be with us there, we'll be on North Sun One as well with all the updates as we have them, so we'll keep you posted on the Don's progress on North Sun One 2. Lynn's in for Elisa and Gossip and Goals. Now, directly ahead, Yogi, hoping to avoid another boo-boo. Coming up in moments on Friday Sport.
North Sun One, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
It's Aberdeen versus Inverness tomorrow. Cali Jags boss John Hughes.
You know what they say in football, no two games are ever the same, but if it is on Saturday with us winning 4-3, I'd be absolutely delighted. Another game that I really enjoyed, but you cannot give a team of Aberdeen's quality 4 goals off a start.
4-3. You can't really give any team 4 goals off a start, I suppose, but it must have given a spirited team talk at halftime that day, and had that match had slightly more injury time, they could probably have pulled it back. That said, he's not quite set the heather alight in the Highlands just yet, is he? Are the fans with him, do you think?
I think they're still with him, but there was a huge bond between the fans and Terry Butcher, obviously. And I mean, with the best will in the world, you take over Inverness, Cali Thistle, when they're sitting second in the league, it's very difficult.
It's not going to get better,
well, exactly.
Is it?
Yeah. So, you know, almost an impossible task for anybody, but I'm sure John Hughes will do well. They've just re-signed Greg Tansey, who spent a season as an ever-present a couple of years ago from Stevenage on an 18-month contract, so he may well be involved tomorrow, and he was a good player. So no, I hope they do. It's great that the North teams are doing well, but again, obviously that have absolutely no hope for them tomorrow in terms of getting anything out of the game.
Now, welcome back at a handy time for a Don's defenders. Andrew Constantine returns from injury and speaks to Red TV for North Sun One's Friday Sport.
There's always room for improvement. There's always video analysis. You know, Bunsen's always, every week, he's got loads and loads of video footage, you know, and we'll, most, sort of end of week, maybe sort of Thursday, Friday, we'll go through last week's game, and then we'll look at, you know, we'll look at the team we play on a Saturday, you know, and I think it's massively important, you know, to know who you're up against. You know, I know we play teams 3 or 4 times a season, you know, so you kind of know, but it's good to always be sort of fresh in the memory, you know. It's a massive part of the game nowadays.
If you're wondering who Boonson is in this situation, we're talking about the video analysis guy, Dave, right?
Yeah, Greg, who's a regular Friday Sport listener. I also, he is our listener, I isn't. But yeah, no, Greg spends ages making up all the stats for the visiting team and getting all the videos ready. In fact, there's some stats which obviously we won't read out info on Inverness for tomorrow. So
why have you got them?
So I can pretend I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's simple as that. But it's very much a part and parcel of the modern game, and something that Derek and Tony and the rest of the backroom staff absolutely embrace wholeheartedly, and the players, you know, they look at individual videos of the guy that they're going to be either marking or who's going to be up against them. So excellent, and obviously as Andy said there, it's a huge part of the preparation.
Will Andrew Constantine come straight back into defence for the Dons tomorrow, Dave, and allow Johnny Hayes to play further up the park again? I have to say, by and large, I think Johnny's done really, really well at the back when he's been there. But let's see what the experts say as regards tomorrow's team. It's predicted Eric time. The 11 men who you think will start for the Dons against Inverness. And Dave Galloway, we'll start with you.
OK, Langfield in goals, Shaughnessy, Anderson, Tate and Reynolds across the back. Jack, the sitting player. I would have Robson, Flood, Pollitt and McGinn behind Vernon.
Almost, in fact, the same 11. I've just got Tate at right back and Joe in the middle. But no, so in answer to your question, I don't think Andy will straight in, but he's a great option to have on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
The one to watch, the man who will potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons, Dave McDermott.
I'm going to go for Scott Vernon again because he likes playing against Inverness. He scored the only goal at Pittodrie when he came on as a sub late on, when another one that looked as though it was going to end 0-0. And I think we'd all agree that up in Inverness, although he didn't get on the score sheet, he absolutely ran that defence ragged. There without Gary Warren, who was he's suspended tomorrow, as is Ross Draper, but Josh Meekings will not fancy being up against, I think it might be Divine that's alongside, but you know, whoever it is, they don't like playing against Scott Vernon because he seems to thoroughly enjoy running them ragged.
The one to watch for you, Dave Galloway?
I would go with Peter Pollitt, absolutely outstanding this season. He has really, really come on in leaps and bounds. I think with Peter, a lot of it's a confidence thing, isn't it? And, you know, he's brimful of confidence. His mobility, his ability to pop up the right, the left, through the middle, he's so difficult to tag down. He causes absolute havoc, and I think that he will do a lot of damage to Inverness tomorrow, hopefully.
And finally, a scoreline prediction. We'll start with you, Dave Galloway.
I will go for Aberdeen 2, Inverness 0.
And Dave Mack?
1-0, 3-0.
What? What?
One more than you.
It would just have been easy to say 3.
1-0, 3-0.
Would it not just have been easy to say 3?
No, but that's boring.
Goodness me.
Okay, to the other matches. Celtic are back after a break to play Motherwell. They've had 6 days off and won. Neil Lennon thinks Fir Park boss Stuart McCall is doing a great job.
He's had a rebuilding job to do himself with the quality of player that has gone out the door. But they're still there. You know, they're winning games and they're still right up there in second or third place. So they're confident coming into this game and we have to be very mindful of that.
Stuart McCall looking for 7 wins in a row.
It'd mean that we'd win at Celtic Park and that'd be incredible. But yeah, you know, people talked about the record last week. Listen, you'd rather be in the news for breaking records in a good way than obviously in a negative way. But that's gone now. If we were to come out of the game with a victory, then it'd be amazing.
Celtic versus Motherwell, Dave McDermott.
Yeah, Motherwell in a fantastic run, which unfortunately included the lucky win that they got at Pittodrie on Boxing Day. But I think a share of the spoils there I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for 1-1, and that wouldn't be the worst result from an Aberdeen perspective in terms of trying to get that second place cemented.
For Hibs, return to Easter Road, manager Terry Butcher looking to get back to winning ways.
You look at Manchester United, you look at Manchester City in their travels away from home in the early part of the season. You know, these are top teams, and they, you know, sometimes their team doesn't really hit the heights that it should do. We were the same on Friday, last Friday, so up until then, the boys have been absolutely brilliant.
Zimmerman having a fairly active week in the transfer market, but one who's staying on is goalkeeper Marian Kello, in love with football again.
Brings me, you know, my football bag is a chance for me to play football again. I was struggling for the last couple of years and just bringing me again the passion and motivation and everything, you know, what belongs to football, which is making my life more happy, you know.
I was trying to think, was Hibs St Mirren Terry Butcher's first game in charge? 0-0, was it something like that?
Yes, it was, because I remember Hibs took a big support through. They filled the whole end at New St Mirren Park, yeah.
And back at Easter Road tomorrow, Hibs v St Mirren, Dave. Different scoreline this time?
It's got to be a home win for me. I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in it, John. I'll go for Hibs 1, St Mirren 0. Hibs have been going great guns, apart from Friday, of course, when the Dandy Dons beat them. But I take Hibs just to edge it.
OK, Pádraig Thistle not having the best time. Boss Alan Archibald happy to be back at home himself.
Form here, the results haven't been good, but believe me, the boys enjoy playing here. They tell us that every day. They enjoy the pitch. The pitch is in good condition and the size of it. And it helps us play a good passing game.
Come on, Alexander Johnson, hoping to get straight back into some good results. The way things had been prior to an enforced break.
We're on a good run. The Aberdeen result, we were all disappointed with the result, but the performance was good, as it was throughout the festive period. And we're wanting to kind of continue that, so it's a wee bit disappointing that we had a break.
Happy coincidence in all these little clips of audio, isn't there, where you hear them saying, well, we were on a good run, and apart from the Aberdeen game.
Yes, carefully selected by my good self.
Yeah, so Partick Thistle versus Kilmarnock. Dave Galloway.
Partick Thistle, Kilmarnock. I would go for Kilmarnock to win that one. 2-1 for me. I mean, Kilmarnock have been going well once again. As you mentioned, the common theme, Aberdeen sticking a spanner in the works, but you know, Kilmarnock have been playing some good stuff. 2-1 Killy for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Lee Mayer, just former Don, of course, he signed a deal to the end of the season with Partick this afternoon, so he could go straight into the squad. So,
well, might show things up a little bit. Ross County are in Dingwall and looking for a better showing than the last time they played Dundee United. They're conceding 4. Boss Derek Adams.
I hope it was that case. You know, I thought that you know, we could have defended a lot better. You know, the goals were all preventable. That's a major, you know, problem we've been having this season. Teams are not really opening this up, but we're making, you know, individual errors that are costing us.
For Dundee United, a squad which won't feature starlets Ryan Gold and John Souter.
We've asked a lot of them over the last couple of months. They've come into the first team there. I think now they've played probably more games in their first team than they have in their 20s. They're still young boys. So obviously the last few games have seen a bit of tiredness in them. So just thought 1 week away, take them out this week. Hopefully they're refreshed, ready for the, you know, the second half of the season.
Jackie McNamara there, resting his young stars. Will that have any bearing on the outcome of Ross County versus Dundee United, Dave McDermott?
Yeah, I know it's Manchester United have did it with Rooney and things. It seems to be I just find it kind of strange at this stage of the season to you'd have thought young kids, rather than needing a rest, would be delighted to, I don't know, two ways of looking at it, I suppose, but nobody's been more active in the transfer window than Ross County, and United in a bit of a not so good run just now, including a defeat by Aberdeen, of course. Ross County, including a defeat by Aberdeen, there is that common theme. Scoreline 2-2. Got there.
After all that.
1+1+1+1. Last one of the weekend sees St Johnson at home to Hearts. Saints boss Tommy Wright.
We can't influence what goes on at Hearts. All we can do is influence what we can do. I think the danger this week is make sure that the players aren't complacent. You know, everybody expects us probably to win. And I know it's going to be a difficult game. I watched the game against Mullerwell and they've done extremely well.
Hearts Gary Locke without Billy Brown by his side.
Yeah, same. No, it's very difficult, obviously, really disappointed, you know, that Billy will be leaving, but the club's made a statement and, you know, you just got to get on with it, myself, to the end of the season.
You don't envy him, do you? Let us say, I mean, it can't get any worse. But bits could start falling off him or his players. But aside from that,
that's the only way it could get worse. You know, Billy Brown, the assistant manager, having to leave for financial reasons. A couple of the directors taking pay cuts for financial reasons,
yeah.
And they've got basically a squad full of kids who are becoming more and more injured. As each week passes, they're not getting a chance to rest. They'll fight, they'll battle, they'll scratch. But you know, St Johnston will win quite comfortably by 2-0, I would say.
Okay, our game of the day, of course, is Aberdeen versus Inverness. And here's your chance to be there at the game with a pal just by answering this question. Our number is Aberdeen 400 969. 01-224-400-969. Call it up. Tell us the correct answer to this, please. In a 4-3 victory for Aberdeen in Inverness, which Don scored 2 goals. Which Aberdeen player scored twice in the 4-3 victory in Inverness? Aberdeen 409-69. Good luck. This is North Someone's Friday Sport. We've got rugby and more football to come. That's first with a full preview of the games elsewhere. As next, we turn our attention to Balmour and Jim McAnally directly ahead on Friday Sport.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
8 in Scotland's League 2, Peterhead 2 points clear at the top, despite losing 2-0 away East Stirling last time. And away at Montrose tomorrow, boss Jim McAnally.
It was a bizarre game as far as the way we dominated possession, dominated chances, but we conceded a set piece and we gave East Stirling that extra energy that they needed to hang in there because we conceded a goal. You know, so we move on to Montrose this week knowing that it's, when you look at the other fixtures in the league, it would be a big game to win because there's going to be a bit of cutthroat going on elsewhere. So we just need to get back into it again. There was nothing wrong with the attitude last week, but certainly this week I do envisage a different game because Montrose will come at us. It's not like last week where East Stirling sat in and defended against us. Montrose will come at us. They've already beaten us. They've got two good forwards in Gary Wood and Brian Deasley. So, you know, I'm envisaging a totally different game.
Ian, the Highland League Cove Rangers welcome Wick Academy tomorrow afternoon following a 3-1 reversal to Broader Rangers last time out. Leaders for Martin are away to Devon Vale. Forest Mechanics at home to Chris Hunter's Fraserburgh side, who've been steadily climbing the table.
A lot of bad performances now and again. They've kind of faulted players for what they've got, for what they've achieved over the last 2-3 months. And they've got us back right in the mix of the Highland League. And 9 points on the Christmas period against the difficult opposition is great for us. It's 3 out of 3, and over Christmas and New Year from training and things like that is a wee bit hampered by festive periods. I think it's been a great month for us that we've managed to pick up 4 points.
Bucky Thistle travel to Fort William. Inverurie Locos welcome Clach. Coach Ian Alexander.
A difficult game, but you're right, we're on a decent unbeaten run. I think it goes back to sort of September time, I think, when we got beat with Bucky, but 2-1 up there. But we've just got to keep it going. We just need to try and match the teams, the results of the teams above us, just to keep us hanging on in there. And then when we come to the bigger games, make sure we take some points off of that.
In the remaining matches, Keith are at home to Nairn County. Second place Brewer Rangers are at Lossiemouth. Strathspey Thistle welcome Huntley and Turriff United host Rothes in the juniors day.
Yeah, all league games, PMAC Group Super League, league leaders, new league leaders, Bank City, they've a difficult game away to Maud. Elsewhere, Dice against Hall Russell United looks a cracker. Cooter, still unbeaten at home to New Elgin. Ellen United take on Bankery St Tiernan. East End travel to FC Stonywood. It's Longside versus Devonside and Stonehaven against Hermes. In the First Division East, Buckenhaven Hearts are at home to Lewis United. Sunnybank travel to Inverurie to face Colony Park. Cruden Bay against Bridgerton Thistle, Newmacker United versus Fraserburgh United. And in the First Division West, Forest Thistle are at home to Bucky Rovers. White Hills travel to Inverness City. Isle of Vale take on Fockabers. Nairn St Ninian host Burghead Thistle. And in the final match, Port Gordon Victoria welcome Dufftown.
Our competition tonight could see you and a pal taking your seats at Pittodrie tomorrow afternoon, thanks to Northam One's Friday Sport. To be with the chance of winning, just answer this, please, in the 4-3 victory for Aberdeen in Inverness, which Don scored 2 goals. Which Aberdeen player scored twice in the 4-3 victory in Inverness? Our number is Aberdeen 400 969 01 224 400 969 if you want to have a go and be at the match live. Good luck. You're North Sun 1's Friday Sport. We're still to come ahead of the in-demand top 30 at 7. We focus on rugby and the English Premier League.
North Sun 1 with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sports.
In England, Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho resumes his long battle with Manchester United this weekend. Richard Newman previews the upcoming Premier League action for Northam One's Friday Sport.
It's difficult to forget the images of Jose Mourinho sliding down the touchline at Old Trafford in celebration. That was back in 2004 when Porto beat Manchester United in the Champions League. Now back at Chelsea for a second spell, they look genuine title contenders. Champions United don't at the moment, but Mourinho still has total respect for David Moyes' side.
Many times, in many, many occasions, the team that looks to be in the most difficult situation is the team that appears stronger in that match. That's why I consider that this game especially dangerous to us.
Arsenal hope to hold on to their lead at the top when they face Fulham. Should they slip up, Manchester City can overtake them by beating Cardiff. At the bottom, it's the Tony Pulis derby. He's at Stoke for the first time since his sacking, and the Crystal Palace boss isn't quite sure what reception he'll get from their fans.
If they want to give me some stick, it's not a problem. If they want to clap and cheer, not a problem again. But, you know, nothing will take away, you know, my feelings for the, you know, the area, never mind the football club.
There's more old acquaintances in the northeast. Both Newcastle manager Alan Pardew and West Ham boss Sam Allardyce used to be in charge of each other's team. Pardew retains a fondness for the East Londoners.
I'm desperate for them to stay in the division.
But hopefully this week they have another disappointment but bounce back the week after.
Also tomorrow, Liverpool take on Aston Villa, Sunderland host Southampton and Norwich face Hull. United's game at Chelsea takes place on Sunday after Swansea play Tottenham, and Pepe Mel takes charge of West Brom for the first time on Monday when his side host Everton.
Rugby and Aberdeen Grammar back in Caledonia. Regional Cup action this weekend against Howard Fife in the regional final. Good luck, lads. That's just about it for this week. Before we go, our competition tonight, we ask which Aberdeen player scored twice in the 4-3 victory in Inverness. The answer is Barry Robson. Well done to Tommy Russo, who's off to the game with a pal tomorrow afternoon. We'll see you there. As far as weekend coverage is concerned, Dave.
Yep, we're of course going to be at Pittodrie for that game, which is Aberdeen against Inverness Cali Thistle, with Andrew, Dave and myself. Full coverage on Red TV. Jim's looking after the Highland League, and that's it for Friday Sport.